Hey guys, what's going on? This is Brian Murphy from One Time Mountain, and you're listening to Citywide Blackout with Max Bowen.
Rock on.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Great to have you here. I'm your host, Max Bowen.
And I'm Curtis Hughes. Welcome everybody.
All right, Curtis. We did the thing.
We did the thing?
We did the thing. We did the thing.
Which thing?
That thing we just did. We just did that thing.
We just did that.
Exactly.
So all right, great.
We're going to do some more things now because today, guys.
Like what? Tell me.
Today, guys, we have a great show lined up for you. We are talking with the band Escape the Paradigm. They're joining us right here, right now. Guys, welcome to the show. Why don't we start by just telling the folks at home who you are and what you do?
All right. I'm Brandon, the vocals and guitar for Escape the Paradigm.
I'm Jonathan, drum percussion.
I'm Donnie, I play bass.
So, and we're a three-piece rock/hard rock band from the Chicago area, in Northwest Indiana, Chicago area.
I love Chicago, man. It's a great city.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
Love that.
Not in the wintertime, but, you know.
No. Chicago is not good in wintertime. I mean, like, for example, I live near Boston, and that sucks in wintertime. The rest of the year, it's fucking amazing. In the wintertime.
All right, hold up. Logistically speaking, we got a timeout. You don't live anywhere near Boston. I live near Boston. You don't live anywhere near Boston. But everybody who's from Massachusetts, for whatever reason, says they're from Boston. You're nowhere near Boston.
Technically, if you're going by the Last of Us measurements, I'm only like 10 miles west of Boston.
I like that. So I actually live the closest to Chicago. It's a legitimately 5-minute drive down the road, 5 minutes north, and I'm in Chicago, like in the outskirts of the south side of Chicago. So, but we all live in Indiana.
Nice.
But, you know, we are significantly closer to Chicago than we are to, I'm closer to Chicago than I am to Gary, for example, which isn't far. So.
I'm probably closer to Gary.
Yeah.
Same.
Okay. All right. Well, Curtisman, take it away, buddy. All yours.
All right, gentlemen. So let's begin with your real layup here. You know, what did you guys do before you got into the whole music thing in terms of, you know, playing your instruments, you know, musical backgrounds, you know, before forming the band? What did you guys all do?
So John and I are brothers. So we've been playing instruments together since we first started. I think he's much better with dates and time and as far as those things, but he and I have been playing together for a really long time. We did our first talent show, was it 2007, Jay?
Yeah, October of 2007.
Yeah, so we played in our high school. We played a talent show, just him and I, just two-piece. And then that led to forming our first band with a really good friend of ours, Larray, who was also there. And then another friend of ours who was in school with us as well. So the four of us, he played bass. So the four of us formed a band. We did that for a couple of years. And then that eventually turned into another band. It was kind of two different bands, but it was the same, if that makes sense. But, you know, kind of that whole evolution through things. But I think, what was it, 2013 that we stopped that band, Jay?
If you're talking about Stonethorn, September of 2013, I believe it was.
Yeah. So
it might have been August. I think we had that month off before Escape the Paradigm formed.
That sounds right. Yeah. So back then, to date all of this, right, Craigslist was still very relevant. So that's actually what we did was we put an ad there. To try to find a bassist because we were like, well, you know, fuck it, we'll just, you know, I can sing, I'll play guitar, because I only played guitar in the band originally, and then somewhere through all the years I ended up taking over vocals, but I'm confident to say where I'm at now in 2024 is significantly better than 2013, which is significantly better than 2007. So But nonetheless, we put the ad out on Craigslist. Don was the person that responded to it. We jammed with him and we took it down after that. He was the first person we jammed with. We were like, yeah, no, this is it. This is the groove. Fun fact that I love to throw out there. Anytime us as a band have had any kind of disagreement or whatever it is, it doesn't get any louder than how we're talking now. Like we've been a band for October this year. I'll make 11 years. We had one argument towards the very beginning and it wasn't even a loud one. And after that, we were just kind of like, you know what? This is the best project we've all had and worked on. Let's fucking be adults about this shit. Let's treat each other with respect. Let's work through this shit. There has not been a single decision, a single issue, what have you, that we've come across where we haven't been able to just figure it out and work through it. Whereas some previous bands, for Jay and I, for example, some of those practices were fucking rough, man.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So Jay and I have very different musical backgrounds too, as far as our interests lie. We both like pretty much everything music wise, but obviously everybody has their own home in music, you know, where they feel the most comfortable. Right. So for me, that's like the 2000s rock, like the post grunge, heavy metal, hard rock, stuff like that. Whereas Jay, I don't know if you want to take over. Well, you know.
Yeah, I consider myself like the classic rock connoisseur. I'm definitely 60s through the 90s, religiously.
And then you know, Don had a bit of a different path to ETP.
Yeah, so when I first started playing, I wanted to be a singer. Found out I was tone deaf. That was in middle school. So then my bass player in the band quit. So my buddy convinced me to go buy a bass, went and got one, did my high school band. Another little fun fact, we actually played a county. It was the Lake County Battle of the Bands. There were six bands there, and one of them was Brandon and J-Rock's original band or last band before this one. And so I met them years before, didn't even, you know, correlate it until when all my high school guys went away to school or went into careers or whatever. So we kind of just broke up after high school, started looking for a new band, was on Craigslist, recognized the name of their band of where they had come from. And I was like, hey, I know these guys, you know, I played a show with them. So I'll see if they want to jam. Go over there, gave my girlfriend at the time the address, because I was like, I don't know these people, just in case you don't hear from me, this is where I'm going. and Tony went over there with those guys. We meshed really quick, more than hello to me, because Jay's the kind of person who's kind of shy at first, but once you get him, you know, once he's comfortable and he gets talking, he won't shut up. But at first I'm like, man, this guy don't like me at all. And then Brandon was the opposite. He just talked most of the time.
Yeah, facts for sure, Donnie. That's
cool.
Donnie, it's funny you mentioned all that, because I believe right before you joined us, I met you at our grocery store down the street. Mm-hmm. You were doing cashier work at the time.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many times our paths crossed before we actually like formed the band.
Yeah, man, meant to be.
That's wild, yeah.
Still rolling along almost 11 years later. So
yeah. You know, that will segue into the next question we have, because like lasting for 11 years, not all bands do that. I mean, some last for as long as they last, but
for sure.
What would you say has kept ETP going for all this time?
I think the fact that the three of us are probably three of the most stubborn people in the world, and you can tell us that we're not going to succeed, but we're not believing it.
We have too much drive and ambition still.
Yeah. Even after all this time, because it's hilarious, because if you think about it, it's a long time, but like for us, for example, you know, in the grand scheme of life, we're really not that far into it. You know what I mean? Like we're really still just kind of hitting, I feel like musically we're starting to hit our stride. Like I feel like we haven't even reached that level that we can go to as far as that. And like, just the fact that every time we put our mind to something and we do it better than we thought we could. And I really think the only thing that's held us down so far as that is just the fact that it is just the three of us, and we've had to balance jobs and whatever else. And, you know, it's that fear of, you know, quitting everything and diving into it because of the potential failure in it. But at the same time, the refusal to just quit, you know, because there's been, obviously there's been several times, like I'm a father, you know, I'm married, Don's married, he's got a house with a mortgage, and you know, we have all these responsibilities and stuff. And it's like, there's definitely been times where it's like, man, yeah, maybe it's time to just hang it up. And, you know, that way I can, you know, instead of worrying about trying to, you know, pay for more merch for another show or whatever, you know, I can put that money towards something else or save up. And like the three of us, like, we, you know, we've had extended breaks like here and there, you know, a couple weeks, couple months, whatever, where we're not doing anything. And every single time we, like, I can't speak for these two, but I know that I find myself going batshit crazy. Like, okay, we got to get something going. Like, I got to do something. Yep. I don't care if I got to go get my guitar and go play an open mic night. Like, I'm fucking going nuts over here doing nothing.
I don't show up, but internally I scream for that as well.
Yep. Yeah. I think if the three of us could have it our way, we would be on tour quite a bit. But, you know, I mean, just and the other thing to add to that too is, like, you know, Jonathan is my brother, but he's also one of my best friends. Same thing with Don, you know, so I feel like the three of us having such a close bond as far as that, and being able to have that, like, that open communication and not like spazzing out about something or like, okay, well, you know what? I don't agree with that. So instead of, you know, instead of being immature about it, let's find a way to talk it out and work through whatever. And like, creative differences have never been an issue. Like, you know, the two albums, I feel like they're very different from one another, the first and second one. And, you know, there was a bit of challenge, you know, getting to it, the second one, as far as that, like certain issues and stuff, but there was never a moment where like, yeah, I don't know, this probably just isn't it. Maybe we just need to all be done. Like, there was always those moments of like, maybe the struggle and putting into it is too much, but never like, oh, the band isn't going to happen.
Okay, so now that we're on the talking about the music and the albums there, so you had your first album that came out in 2018, and that was Mistaken. And yep. how did that go for you? How was that received? What did you guys end up doing for, like, you know, promotions and tours and things like that after you know, that came out?
Well, we ended up going on our first and so far only tour in 2018, opening up for All That Remains. It was like a 2-week tour through the South.
Awesome.
Even did a hometown show as well.
Yeah, that was definitely a lot of fun. But I don't know, the background or the backstory, I should say, for Mistaken is we went with that as the title track because that's the first song that we wrote together as a trio. I came up with the main opening little riff, whatever you call it, the clean part. I came up with that because, as Jay had mentioned, we had a hiatus. We stopped with the other band. We were done. We were just going to be finished for a little while and kind of do our own thing. And then, you know, whenever we found the time or something worked out, then we were going to do it. But I had made up my mind. I was like, well, I'm just going to do some acoustic shows. Why not? You know, I got the acoustic here. I wanted to kind of force myself out of my comfort zone because our band beforehand was, I would say, it was a rock band trying really hard to be a metal band. We were really trying really hard to fit into a category or, you know, the analogy of, like, you know, putting a square peg in a round hole was what I feel like we were trying to do with our music.
Sure.
We were trying to be something that we truly weren't.
Correct. Correct. But, you know, I had the acoustic and I was like, okay, I'm going to make myself write music that is on this acoustic here. I'm not going to rely on the distortion. We're not going to rely on whatever else. And, you know, strip it all down and really expose my own weaknesses and try to improve on them. And so then I came up with Mistaken and just at least the, you know, the clean parts. And I had written the lyrics at the time. It's funny because I had written the lyrics about my my previous marriage. And while her and I were still together is actually when the lyrics came together. That opening line, "The sound of silence is ringing through our empty home. And I know that you're here with me, but I feel so alone." I was like, you know, mentally, you know, the band was done. Just so many different things going on. And so it was just something that kind of hit me as far as that. But we went with it as the title track because, again, it was the first one we put together. I felt like it was probably the strongest song, you know, for that capacity. First music video we ever did was that one. So it was really just like a perfect storm of firsts involving that song, which is why it was the title track. So, you know, again, as Jay said, we did the little tour, made the music video. I feel like I'm probably a good chunk of why we didn't do more with it right off rip. As, you know, I had my previous marriage ended, you know, pretty early into ETP. And then, you know, a little while after that, I met my current wife. Her and I have been together for, I think coming up on 8 years, about to be. So, you know, it's been pretty fun so far. It's been a lot better, you know, but, so the album was put out, like you said, around that time. But shortly after that, we did the tour. I got married, we went on the tour, and then a little bit after that, I ended up enlisting in the military and went away for basic training in AIT for the Army. So I'm in my last final stretch of that contract. So January of next year, it's done. Thank God. The people that do 20 years or longer, I have the utmost respect for them, because there's no way in hell, man.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely not.
It's tough. I feel like it's definitely dampened some opportunities, maybe. Yeah, we had a pretty good reception. We still have people who will occasionally comment on stuff from that tour. And so we really didn't get to capitalize too much beyond that, because I got back.
Basically begging us to come back to Charlotte or St. Louis.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like in that, man, you guys got to come back out this way. Like, you guys were great. We loved it. You got to come back. And for us, the three of us, we made jokes the whole entire time as we were driving from spot to spot. We're like, okay, well, this is the night they're going to boo us off stage, because we're a rock band playing with a metalcore band. Every single night, I shit you not, the crowd loved us. It was so, like, the metal community gets so much shit they don't deserve, because everybody thinks that they're just, you know, whatever the case is. And that was,
yeah,
the
they
most
just pigeonhole
welcoming.
Themselves like, yeah. Like into that. Yeah. I
they
understand
were,
what you're saying.
Oh, they were probably, I would say, especially, I would say Lubbock, Texas stands out the most in my mind. Lubbock, Texas is probably maybe top three, but definitely top five most receptive, energetic, just awesome crowds that we've ever played for.
Great gig, great venue, everything. The atmosphere was just magic.
It was incredible. It was packed wall to wall. And mind you, we hadn't played too many packed shows like that with this band or in general. And the room was huge. There was like, I'd say, it probably sounds like a small number to whoever, but it was like, I'd say close to 300 people or whatever in the room. And I shit you not when I say that, like, the front row was like as far away as my monitor is from me. That's how close the first row of people was. And it was just people all the way back, you know, all the way across. Like it was amazing, and I'll never forget that. But you know, we wanted to do more with that, and we unfortunately didn't, you know, get to capitalize too much more. And then the pandemic hit, you know.
Yeah, you came home from the Army. We tried to do a few shows, and then COVID hit all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We had these plans to, you know, do this big theater show, and that got, you know, canceled. And
yeah, that was going to be at our old high school. There was a couple of people who went to that high school. There was going to be like a kind of like a mega show, if you will. It was going to be a big fundraiser, and it was going to be in the auditorium. And at the time of talking about it with everybody, it was damn near close to being capacity. So it was going to be something wonderful. We were like, yes. And then COVID hit, and COVID was like, y'all ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, COVID just gave everybody the big middle finger and just like, no,
big time.
Yep. Nope, you guys are just sitting on your asses on the couch. Nothing going on.
I remember when that first happened, and first people were saying like, okay, our show like tomorrow's canceled, or show Saturday's canceled. Like, oh, okay, well, you know, like a couple weeks is no big deal. And then people were saying, like our summer tour is canceled, Boston Calling is canceled,
WrestleMania is canceled. Yeah, like, oh yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The world stopped.
Yeah.
Growing up, I'll never forget hearing the world isn't going to stop turning. It's going to keep on turning no matter what happens. They didn't know about COVID.
It stopped for a little while. Let us talk about other bands, because you mentioned touring with All That Remains, which, believe it or not, I actually have one of their shirts somewhere, because I was like, All That Remains. That reminds me. I was like, oh, shit, yeah. Because I think I saw them playing, I couldn't tell you when, honestly, it was a long time ago, but they're an absolutely awesome band. And you've shared the stage with a lot of other great bands. Eva Under Fire, Gemini Syndrome, Tantric, many more. Who's on your yet to play with list?
So I would say, just in terms of keeping it realistic with where we're at right now, I've been dying to get on something with Saul. Their most recent
Saul's
album.
Awesome.
Yeah, nice. Their most recent album, they did, the same producer did ours. We All Fall Down was done at the same place. I don't want to quote their album because I'll fuck it up. I don't remember. It's like, this is it, the end of everything or something like that. I quoted it anyway. but no, same producer. We were actually trying to get one of the tracks that was going to be on the album. We haven't finished it yet. We have to go back and finish it. But it was actually going to have Blake, I think it's his name, from Saul, the singer. He was going to be on it. The scheduling issues was what prevented it. But really cool dude. I got to talk to him. You know, internet friends with Miles, the drummer. Really cool guy. So I would say, yeah, they're on that list. For at least for me personally.
Right. I think I think Fozzy would be a good one.
Ah, oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Oh, Fozzy's great. Yep.
Actually, come to think of it, because we've been trying to make as much noise as humanly possible about it. There's a small little, you know, annual local show that happens around here. It's called Festival of the Lakes. And this rock band that, you know, some people may or may not know, you know, they're just a little rock band by the name of Shinedown. It's going to be playing there. And, you know, they take local artists, and I happen to live, no lie, 5 minutes from the venue, 10-minute walk.
If that.
You know.
Shinedown. Yeah. I don't know, man. They really don't sound like a big deal. They're flashing the pan.
Yeah.
They'll never last.
Yeah. No, God, no. They're definitely not selling 15,000 tickets a night in the stadium or anything. Or, arenas or whatever. Yeah, they're definitely not doing that.
Bunch of amateurs. That's all they are.
I don't know if it's still the same, but for a while it was like them and Five Finger Death Punch were the two most profitable acts. They were making the most. They were just smashing it every single night. But we're trying our hardest to get on that one. Well, Don, I don't know. Was there one that you had in mind or that I'm missing
here? I would love to open for Mammoth.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh, that would be dope. Yeah.
Sure. Mammoth is so good.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wolfgang is ridiculous.
We got to see him in Van Halen one time.
Yes. Yes, we did. Yeah. When Van Halen did that 07-08 tour and Wolfie was playing bass.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It was a really good show.
So actually, let's turn to, I'm curious about We All Fall Down. So that was released.
Yeah.
You know, in this past May, if I'm right on my note on that. Okay. So how did going into the studio to record this project for this album, how did that differ from the first album? Kind of what did you go in there with in terms of like, okay, well, we didn't do this well back in 2018, so we're going to change it and do this. Is it like anything like that, or was it a completely fresh perspective with this project?
So obviously I can't speak for the other guys as far as their mindsets or what have you, but I know for me, vocals have always been a huge, huge point of contention for myself, with myself. So I've always resented my voice, never been a big fan of it. I've always been really hard on myself as far as that. So this time around, it was just making sure to get the most possible out of myself as far as vocals were concerned. A band that I was a part of for a brief amount of time, COVID, as well as a couple other things, killed that off. We're building some momentum. I don't know if you've ever heard of Open Your Eyes. They had, I forget what label they were through. They had one of their songs, they had Craig Mabbitt from Escape the Fate on there. And they saw some success. Like, they were definitely doing really, really good. They were going to do a little bit of like a comeback reunion thing. They brought me in to play guitar as well. So it was all fun in North Carolina, I want to say. I could be wrong, but I want to say it's somewhere over on the East Coast. The producer we worked with, Kyle O'Dell, was living out there at the time. Open Your Eyes was going there to record their stuff. It was a whole fresh perspective, whole new sound. He's worked with, he's done some stuff for Motionless and White. He did some writing on some songs that ended up getting used by Bad Wolves. Nita Strauss, her album she put out where she had the single with David Draymond, he produced that album. That was, you know, his work. And obviously Saul's stuff as well. So, you know, he obviously, I got to meet him and work with him there, established a connection with him, you know, showed him my band, this one, you know, and I was like, hey, you know, what do you think of this? And he was like, dude, this is awesome. You know, we can make something work with this. It's right up my alley as far as, you know, kind of artists I like to work with. And so knowing that, we had some ideas, we had some ideas that we put together, and we mostly went into it with nothing and with just a completely fresh perspective. So the album was actually recorded in two phases. and it was recorded in Nashville in Berry Hill, just outside of Nashville. Probably the most fun I think I've had that didn't involve touring with this band. Jay and I spent a vast majority of the time out there together. Don was there for a good chunk of it too, to throw down the bass and whatever. But you know, as far as all that, the singer from Dead Eyes, Zach, he was there. He was kind of working with Kyle, learning producing and kind of being a helping hand in the studio, learning under him, kind of working with him. And so he helped kind of co-produce some of the lyrics and vocals. He's an incredible vocalist. He really is. But I would say like, which ones? Breaking Chains, Sign of Life, a couple others. You know, he had a big hand in helping me kind of redirect and figure out what to do, where to go with it, what to change up, how to rephrase something. You know, Kyle's had, like I say, a good amount of success, you know, as far as mainstream. He was in the band Failure Anthem. They went on tour. Oh, actually, as a matter of fact, Shaman's Harvest, their most recent album too, they also did that with Kyle. And Kyle's a good friend.
They even came over as well at one point.
Yeah, the singer actually from Shaman's Harvest, he showed up in the studio because him and Kyle are best buds. So he sat in while I recorded vocals, which was both nerve-wracking and awesome. But
it sounds like you guys are all well connected. So when are you guys going to start blowing up? Like, let's go,
man. So I firmly attribute that to being our fault. I don't think it's like, there's no market or people just are. But like, we have the talent, we have the tools, we've put the things together. But it's finding a way to have the time to push the product out there, because you're going to get a lot of no's before you start getting yeses. And I can tell you, after almost 11 years, if we had even a penny for every no we've got, we probably could just go around asking people to tell us no for our stuff and we'd be fine.
That could work.
That's the way it goes, though. I mean, you just keep knocking and eventually you're going to get a yes, and then you can maybe get a few more no's, but then you're going to get a yes, yeah, and a yes and a yes. You just got to keep being relentless, as they say.
Yeah. So we're hoping, again, if we can make a splash with Festival of the Lakes. I mean, last year and the couple years before, they've had anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people show up for the bands. So, yeah, it would be incredible. It's definitely an amphitheater. I don't know if you guys get the chance, you know, look it up. They have a Facebook page. They got a website. You'll be able to see some of the stuff they've had, who they've had there. They had Lil Wayne there last year. So, yeah, they go all out. So if we can get lucky and get on that stage, you know,
they get a variety of acts. Like one night they'll have a hip hop night, one night they'll have classic rock, one night they'll have modern rock, one night they'll have mariachi.
Yep, country is always one too.
Country.
Cool.
And they get big names. So that, I mean, and again, not to keep hammering that away, but that's one area where we feel like if we can just get in the door there and show what we have, yeah, I feel like that'll help us out significantly.
Sure.
But the biggest thing is just getting the right exposure as far as that, and then figuring out the algorithm on a lot of things too. I know that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But of course, working with the right group to help like promote you guys helps really well, yep, too. And that leads to the next question, working with Curtain Call Records. Now, Curtis and I know them very well. They've been sending us up to us for a number of years, and we absolutely love those guys. Great group. How did you come on their radar, and what's it been like working with them?
I won't throw shade. So we were working with somebody else prior to. Curtain Call also knows who they are and knows them for what they are and what they've got a reputation for doing, which was being done to us as well. So knowing that and just applying through their website and kind of striking up the conversation, we got to talking to John. Absolutely amazing guy. Love him to death. You know, there's no bullshit with him. It's right to the point. I appreciate that a lot. I know, you know, sometimes people who are no bullshit, who cut straight to the point, you know, they're not for everyone, but I can tell you for ETP, they absolutely are. I don't need to sit and have a 20-30 minute conversation where someone beats around the bush just to tell me no. Like, just be flat out. If this sucks, tell me. If that sucks, tell me. We'll fix it. We'll work on it. And that's like, John is that kind of dude. And I appreciate that a lot. There's a lot of honesty, transparency with them. They definitely have held up their end of the deal a lot as far as things, you know, we sat down, we had a conversation with him. He's like, this is what we can do for you. This is what it'll look like. These are the time frames, this, and this. You know, I couldn't tell you the amount of times, the phrase, I'm not going to bullshit you. This is this, you know, and I appreciate that because again, you know, when you've been doing this as long as we have, and you've tried to succeed, you get everybody that will try to sell you your dreams and try to sell you whatever, knowing full well that they can't, full well that it's still, even in this day and age, is a right place, right time thing. And John's just like, look, you guys have to have the motivation. You have to have the product. You have to have the sound. You have to do the thing. All we can do is give you a bigger platform to do it on and help push it. And that's what they've done. They've been awesome. They've taken great care of us. You know, if we can continue to work with them going forward after, you know, the initial point of, you know, what we discussed with them is there, we're, you know, 1,000% on board as far as I'm concerned. I can't say enough nice things. And then too, we played two shows in Texas. That was incredible. First show was a little rocky. The day got better. We made it through. We figured it all out. You know, we had the rock goddess there with us, you know, and she's absolutely incredible. She took great care of us. She made damn sure that, you know, she went up to bat for us if there was any issues. It was just all in all, it was a really, really good time. The South by Southwest little offshoot thing we did with them. It was a great time. And they've, like I said, they've just taken great care of us. Anytime, you know, we do have something we're looking to get put out through them again. I still got to send the information over to John and get it finalized and get it put out there. But I kind of have a feeling that if anything is going to catch on and hopefully help us ride some wave of momentum, I feel like this will be it.
Yeah.
Not to put too much out there, but it's a cover / remake of a song that genre wise, I think we fit in really well with. And I think a lot of people, if you told them the band, maybe they would know, maybe not. But you hear the song, if you're a rock fan, as soon as you hear that opening part, you're going to be like, ah, I know what it is. So, you know, hopefully that helps us. But, you know, they've been, to me, I would say aside from all that, another thing that for me personally that they've been instrumental in is helping rebuild my own confidence and our ability to succeed with this. Because by them helping push us and you know, knocking down doors to get people to at least put some eyes on it and pay attention, and then the reception from it's like, oh, wow, you know, this is actually really good. I like this. You know, like it's kind of, you know, especially, you know, Jay and I have talked about it a lot, you know, it's kind of relit that fire, if you will.
So we have talked about a lot of past shows, but one thing that we're kind of curious about is what is planned for the future. I mean, I know I've talked about playing there's a Festival of the Lakes, perhaps, and guys, Festival of the Lakes, if you're hearing this, get this band on. They're awesome.
Get them on. Let's go.
but what else do you have kind of like down the road for us?
So there is a wonderful venue that is local to us that we've played at once, Avenue 912. That is 912 is the area code backwards, 219. You know, a little cool thing they did there. I like it. I think it's pretty cool. But regardless, we're playing kind of like I guess you'd call it like a local showcase there. There's a couple other bands from the area, or at least from Northwest Indiana, varying genres. A good friend of ours, Andy, is putting the whole thing together. So not sure what the order is, not sure who's doing what. I think tickets are like $6. We're doing pre-sales for it. So we're going to be trying to do our best to pack that place and kind of show them that local music can still draw. Because right now, the biggest thing that draws in our area is a lot of the tribute and cover bands. And no knock on them, man. Those guys fucking kill it. They're incredible. You know, our friends in Freak on a Leash, we just played with them back at the start of this month, and those guys are it's another level, man. Watching them live, it's incredible. They really have figured their thing out. But we got that, and then that's not all we have at the moment. I know there's more we've been talking about getting.
Nice.
Well, we definitely like to get back to some of the venues we played last year, in addition to some new venues like regionally. Maybe do some more in Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana. Maybe even branch out to Ohio or something.
Absolutely.
Nice.
I think we have a festival in August, don't we?
You are correct. We do. Yes. I have to get the date, the details finalized on that, but that's another benefit for veterans. Show that we played at the start of this past month at the Hobart Art Theater with Freak on a Leash and all that, that was for Severed Souls of Indiana, that motorcycle club for veterans. And that was an incredible show as well. But that's on our radar, playing back at the Hobart Art Theater at some point. Definitely doing the gig we got at Avenue 912, like Jay said, doing some stuff back in Wisconsin. We played a few, like to get back over there, potentially back in Lombard at the Brower House.
Or Wayne Appears.
Yeah, yep.
Try to get to the machine shop in Flint one day.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah, potentially back down to Indianapolis. We played with the Hoosier Dome. Was it down there? It's a little like bar spot. Awesome spot. I loved it.
All right. Well, folks, we are coming down to the end of this conversation. Of course, I want to thank the man for joining us. But before we go, Curtis, I believe you got one more question to ask, man.
So, yeah, I was looking at the website for you guys and going through everything. I came across a quote that I'm going to paraphrase / read. And so I believe it came from Brandon. So music has helped me in several moments in my life. It saved me when nothing else could, and I owe music a debt I cannot pay. If my music can do that for even just one other person, then I have successfully paid it forward. That's the real goal. I love that. You don't really hear many people speaking that way. So, I could tell that comes from the heart, and listening to,
absolutely,
both of the two albums that you guys have out now, it definitely, the storytelling in terms of, the lyrics and the writing, it all comes through, of course, with the music as well. What's like the one thing you want to try to do to pay, everything forward, for fans or other musicians, things of that nature? That's kind of really where I'm going with that.
I would say two things on that, at least for me. I'm sure these guys have their own interpretation and their own thing that they would add to that. But for me, it would be two things. One would be to be able to be that source of inspiration for that 14, 15-year-old goofy looking kid with long hair that just picked up a guitar and is trying to learn, which was me at that point. Just to be able to give that person, that boy or girl, whatever the case is, something that they feel that they belong in, something that they feel can help them work through whatever it is they're working through, whether it's just that they don't understand the changes in their life, or, they just lost somebody and it helps them cope with it. But just to provide that inspiration for someone, and to kind of be that comfort, that security blanket for them, if you will. And then the second thing, I had a really, really good friend of mine who is a big supporter of our music tell me that it already has for him. So it's a huge win to me. And if tomorrow, for whatever reason, I couldn't play anymore and I had to be done, at least I've inspired my kids. And I know that, I did this for this friend of mine, but a friend of mine told me that he was really going through some dark times and some really terrible things, and he was considering not being around anymore. And our music and the words in it convinced him not to. It gave him, a comfort that talked him off the ledge, if you will. So to be able to do that and just create that safe place where you feel like you belong, even if you don't. Like for me, 3 Days Grace was a huge example of that. They were massive for me with that. Their first two albums was like, it kind of helped me find my identity. And then, there was Alter Bridge and their music. And I'll say it, and I don't give a damn who says what or who has a problem with it. Nickelback has never sucked. I've always loved their music, and their music has helped me through some times too. Regardless of what anyone wants to say, they're a big inspiration for me as far as music videos. I challenge you to find a music video, especially in their, I would say their Silver Side Up to maybe Dark Horse album era. I challenge you to find a music video that sucked, because there isn't one. Like, they would have incredible storytelling. So to use that medium as well, right? The music video aspect to tell even more with it, but just to be able to create a space where people feel like they belong, where they feel safe, where it helps them to cope with whatever they're going through, and to hopefully spark that in the next person to maybe go out and do something that changes the world, even if it's something small. And like I say, I know it sounds cliche and cheesy, but like, to me, if you save one person with your music, you're making a positive impact in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful to be able to inspire somebody like that. Because, you know, like Brandon said, you know, music has saved me millions of times. I didn't have a lot of great experience growing up. I'll just put it that way. But music has really, it pushed me and just kept pushing me through. And the other thing is, I want to be able to provide somebody with that kind of comfort as well. Even if it, you know, take a few hours of their day to just, you know, feel good, whether it's playing a live, whether they come to a live show or they'll just listen to us on Spotify or whatever the case may be.
I think to add to that too, because it really is important. And then just aside from the music has helped myself through really dark times or Jay or even Don, for Jay and I in particular, you know, with our mom, music saved her. And if it wasn't for music saving her, I don't know that he and I would even be here. So she's where we get it from. I can tell you that she's the biggest reason that we've been able to do this. You know, the first time we ever started doing music, she helped make it happen. And she's instilled that in us, that music can be that safe place. I actually have a clock hanging up in front of me and a plaque that's shaped like a guitar pick that my mom gave me. And both of them say, where words fail, music speaks. And it is the God's honest truth. So
hell yeah.
She is.
Powerful.
Even when we were little growing up, she was a huge music buff. There was always music in the house, no matter where you went.
Yes.
It was like Journey or Chicago or Eminem or whatever the case.
Disturbed. I mean, you name it. It literally any genre. That's where it comes from for us. But the core, you know, understanding that like music's the language that everybody speaks and that it can be a comfort for anyone and everyone. Like, I guess just, you know, again, to be able to throw our own spin on that and be that place for somebody else.
I love that, man. I really do. That's powerful stuff. Like you said.
Absolutely.
All right, folks. Well, this is it, folks. We're down to the end of the episode. Of course, want to thank the guys in Escape the Paradigm for joining us. Don, John, and Brandon. It's been great talking to you guys.
Yes, sir.
And definitely
thank
looking
you.
Forward to some great things down the road. And Curtis, of course, man, great having you on the show as always. And we'll see you guys next time.
Absolutely. Later. Good talking, guys.
Thank you.
Enjoying the podcast? Get even more of the content you love from artists around the world on Citywide Bites. Experience the show live on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, only on Instagram. With our interactive short-form interview series, you can ask your questions and be a part of the action. Hosted by Max Bowen.
The candle at both ends, but I don't know how.
And with that, we bring this episode to a close. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't already, check us out on Facebook under Citywide Blackout and Twitter and Instagram under Citywide Max. You can catch this and all your favorite episodes on your favorite podcast platform. And new episodes are added every week, as well as on Boston Free Radio every Saturday at 10 p.m. You get at me at citywidemax@yahoo.com if you want to suggest a guest, submit your music, or just drop us a line. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.